KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 24 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy here today with a high around 34. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen. The check of the latest state and local news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, the National Weather Service is changing how it measures the depths of Iowa's waterways, which also mean a change in how much water will be needed to prompt the issuance of flood warnings. Senior hydrologist Jeff Zog says they're shifting 44 of the 47 river forecast points across the state's midsection.
The reason we're changing the flood stages and the flood categories across central Iowa is to basically give our flood warnings more meaning. We want to be sure that when we issue a river flood warning for a given location, that it actually means that something is going to occur.
The National Weather Service office in Johnston serves 51 counties in Iowa, and he says the changes will impact about 30 rivers and streams across that area.
Over the years, due to mitigation activities, locations that may have been affected at a given stage are no longer impacted, so that requires us to raise the flood stage and the flood category.
Almost all of the changes in river forecasting markers are being moved upward, meaning that a warning won't be issued now until the floodwaters reach a higher point.
Many people have probably become used to us issuing river flood warnings for levels that don't have much impact, and going forward, the flood warnings that we do issue will definitely have more impact. They're keyed into impacts to life and property in the locations where we do the flood warnings for. So we'll definitely need to pay attention to these river flood warnings.
Zog anticipates the changes will mean a 50% reduction in the number of flood warnings that his office issues this next year versus previous years. The National Weather Service is scheduled to release its annual flood forecast for Iowa next Thursday, February 16th. And you can learn more about the changes at www.weather.gov/DMX. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And officials in the Project Recovery Iowa office say they're trying to ensure that those who were hit by the Missouri River flooding have been able to get all the state and federal recovery aid that they're due. Spokesperson Karen Hyatt says you don't have to do it all yourself.
There are staff in the area, that's Fremont, Harrison, Mills, Monona, or Pottawatomie County. And if people still need support, staff can make sure that they have applied for everything that they were eligible for. They can offer resources, referrals, guidance, stress management, and emotional support if that's needed.
The PRI staff have been on the ground since the flooding began, but Hyatt says they still haven't reached everyone that might need some help.
We're finding people who didn't apply for federal funding because they didn't think they met their requirements. The Missouri River flooding was very different this time, where a lot of people evacuated, but they didn't have flooding to their home. There are resources available to people who fit into that category, and that's not typical. So we want to make sure that people explore all opportunities while the window to do so is still open.
Anyone who lives or lived in the counties hit by the flooding can check with the Project Recovery Iowa office by calling the Iowa Concerns Hotline. That line is open 24 hours a day.
So if a person just calls 800-447-1985, they can ask be connected with Project Recovery Iowa staff. We also have a website, which is projectrecoveryiowa.com, and the project is on Facebook at Project Recovery Iowa.
Hyatt says the Missouri River flooding was unlike any other recent disasters because of how long the water remained before the recovery efforts started.
It went on for months, and people are still recovering from that financially, emotionally, physically. And so we certainly want people to realize that it's normal at this point, even though it's been months since the flooding started in the summer. There are still reasons that people need to connect with services. There are still people who may need to talk and process what they're going through, and there are people available to do that.
Hyatt says if you work in Iowa but live in Nebraska, they can direct you to the appropriate help in Nebraska if you call the Iowa Concerns Hotline. The city of Council Bluffs is sitting in a very unique position, according to Mayor Tom Hannafin.
We live in the largest metropolitan area in the state of Iowa and the largest metropolitan area in the state of Nebraska.
And Hannafin says while the Omaha area continues to draw conventions, the same thing is happening in Council Bluffs. He says the reason some groups chose Council Bluffs instead of Omaha is because they're strictly Iowa-based. For instance, the state bowling tournament.
It's 15 weeks, and that brings people from all over the state of Iowa that will come to our community that you wouldn't have that in Omaha.
And a long-term expansion of the Council Bluffs freeway system is in the works. Hannafin says the upgrade is needed as the current interstate system was drawn up many years ago and can't handle the significant upturn in traffic.
The design of our interstate system was for about 60,000 cars a day on 80 and 29. The new build-out's for 145,000 cars.
Hannafin says the roadways are now taking about 100,000 cars a day. He says they'll need $175,000 per year for 6 years to complete the project. And Hannafin is starting his second quarter, as mayor of Council Bluffs. Elsewhere in the news, two men suffered non-life-threatening injuries after the pickup truck they were in rolled over early this morning in Council Bluffs. Authorities say charges are pending completion of a blood alcohol test on the driver of the truck, 18-year-old Kyle Danick of Red Oak. Danick and his passenger, 22-year-old Tyle Thompson of Bellevue, Nebraska, were traveling in a 1982 Chevy S10 pickup when the vehicle went out of control on South Main Street at around 2 a.m. Wednesday. Witnesses told police the vehicle was traveling south at a high rate of speed when it crossed 16th Avenue and drove across the snow into the Iowa Interstate Railroad yard. The truck hit the railroad tracks, vaulted into the air, and landed on the driver's side before flipping onto its roof. Danick and Thompson were able to extricate themselves from the vehicle. The men were transported to Allegiant Health Mercy Hospital for treatment. A Storm Lake man has pleaded guilty in federal court to possession of firearms by a convicted felon and now faces a sentence of up to 10 years in prison. Court documents say 28-year-old Ko Vu admitted that he had two handguns and a rifle and ammunition after having been convicted of a felony. He was convicted of battery resulting in substantial bodily harm in Wisconsin in December of 2003. Authorities found weapons in Vu's home in March of 2010 after his wife reported them to Storm Lake Police. A sentencing date has not been set. The charge carries with it a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and a $100 special assessment, along with 3 years of supervised release following imprisonment. A House panel has approved a bill that would reduce commercial property taxes, limit the growth of local government, and slow the projected increase in the taxable value of residential and agricultural properties. The House Ways and Means Committee approved the bill Wednesday evening on a 15-10 vote, with Republicans in favor and Democrats opposed. The bill now goes to the full House. The measure would lower commercial property taxes by 40% over 8 years and provide $240 million to offset cuts to local government budgets. Some Democrats in the Senate say they think the plan could lead to increases in residential property taxes, and city officials say they worry about cuts in tax revenue. Governor Terry Branstad and China's Consul General are stressing the importance of trade in advance of a visit to Iowa by China's vice president. Speaking Wednesday at a State House news conference, Consul General Yang Guoquang noted that China's relationship with Iowa is vital because the state is an agricultural powerhouse. He says it's in the interest of both Iowa and China to increase trade. And Branstad says his history with China goes back to a visit he made there in 1984. Branstad says he's committed to improving trade relations with the country, and he credited exports for the strong commodity prices enjoyed by Iowa farmers. The two officials spoke before next week's visit of Vice President Xi Jinping. He'll make stops in Muscatine and Des Moines. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of people seeking unemployment aid is nearing a four-year low. The government says weekly applications for jobless benefits fell 15,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 358,000. The four-week average is at its lowest level since late April of 2008. Many Americans think it's young people who've suffered the most from the recent recession, but most of those young people are still optimistic. Only a third of adults ages 18 to 34 are surveyed by the Pew Research Center. Consider their financial situation excellent or good, but most are upbeat about the future, with only 9% saying they don't think they'll ever have enough money to live the life they want. 10 states will soon be exempt from the No Child Left Behind law. That law requires all students to be proficient in reading and math by the year 2014. States that are granted waivers must show they're getting children ready for college and careers and setting new targets for improving achievement, among other things. The first 10 states to receive the waivers include Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. And coffee and tea lovers should take note. More than a million Tassimo single-cup brewers are being recalled. The Consumer Product Safety Commission said the plastic discs that holds the coffee or tea can burst while brewing, and some people have gotten burned. A 10-year-old girl went to a hospital with second-degree burns to her face and neck. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Checking our funeral announcements, Russell Strable, age 61, of Messina, died Saturday. Funeral services for Russell Strable will be held this morning at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. John Joseph Waters, age 89, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Services for John Waters will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Don Mays, age 93, of Greenfield, died Monday. Funeral services for Don Mays will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Brad Kemble, age 74, of Panora, died Wednesday. A prayer service for Brad Kemble will be held tomorrow at 8 o'clock, that's 8 p.m., at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Peggy Ann Kindheart, age 72, of Oakland, died Monday. Funeral services for Peggy Ann Kindheart will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. And Larry Lee Ward, Jr., age 49, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home. Services for Larry Lee Ward, Jr. are pending with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.